Hi, Danielle.
Hi, Casey.
Good to see you.
It's great. You know, on the after the last Salt Lake City and before the episode of the century, like, we're just in a real
sweet spot.
A good time. Sweet spot of life.
Yeah, it's like the Christmas spirit is here. You know, right before the holidays, we've got Dubai coming up. Caroline Stanberry back in our lives.
Thank God. I've missed her.
Me too. I always think of her when she ran that failed business gift closet or whatever the hell it was. And she was always sitting in like that fishbowl type office just while staff members frantically ran by and she like clicked a pen.
The minute I saw her, I took a picture of her to my hairdresser and said, do me like this. Do me like this.
Do me like this now.
Do me like this.
Wow, wow, wow.
We have some big news to announce, Casey. Do you want to do the honors? Because this is huge.
This is huge, Danielle. And I hope no one takes this as though we're done. But what I want to announce is I am absolutely shocked. Got a email from Baby to Baby. We had put out a call last week to ask, humbly ask for some donations, whatever anyone could spare, because we're doing a big holiday shop on behalf of Bitch Sesh for some children in Los Angeles, specific needs that they have for the holidays. They get to specifically request presents for kids who otherwise would not be able to have presents and winter needs. And Danielle, everyone, as usual, heeded the fucking call.
They sure did.
We have raised, at this juncture, about $28,000 from you all. Danielle and I are throwing in another 10. This has been 1 week. You all came up with $28,000 in this climate.
I seriously have chills. You guys are just always the most generous, the kindest, the most empathetic audience I can, no other audience delivers like you guys do. And I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. You guys are beautiful people.
And someone said this on my Instagram, which really made me laugh. Someone was like, yeah, we are garbage, but also we'll help. You know, my time of need. And I was like, we're both. We're high, we're low, we're good, we're bad.
As we say in this podcast, two things can be true at the same time.
There are two truths here. And one is that we spend our time tearing down women. And two is we're going to buy Christmas presents for children in need. And I'm so gratified and I'm so thankful and grateful to you all. And if you're still so inclined, please continue to donate. We are keeping this going through the first week of December. And also, I received so many of your emails. I'm reaching out to you. We're good in terms of volunteering to shop with me and wrap gifts. Thank you so much. So that is just a huge thank you from us.
Thank you. We love you. You guys
truly, you're
amazing.
Wonderful people. Now, Danielle, speaking of the holiday spirit.
Yes.
Always. You and I are doing an episode, a third annual. No one's asked for it. And that is our favorite things. Simply just things we like. Hashtag no ads, not one ad.
No, not one ad. We are not making money from any of this. We are just things
to future collabs with these
guys. If anybody wants to. We are not pushing it away if you would like to. We are happy to. But these are just things that we have, products, things that we have just loved over the last year that you can buy for your friends, for your family, for yourself.
Exactly, Dan.
As a holiday treat. And I have some products that I'm really excited about that I've discovered in these
Me
times.
Too. And Danielle, you know, some people have been making fun of me and I've been sharing this on Instagram, but I currently, now what is the date today, Danielle? It is November 11th.
Sure
is. I have two Christmas trees up. Veterans Day. Two Christmas trees are up. A third coming. So I have what Kulat Vilaysack, my dear friend, calls my hero tree.
Yes.
My formal living room. Yeah. No, it's fake from Balsam Hill. I don't give a fuck. Come at me. Okay. But how would you like to be able to turn on your lights, click them white, click all colorful lights, click back to white. It's gorgeous. A 9-foot Vermont spruce.
It makes
me
want
to jizz. It makes me want to jizz all over the place.
But it's not a real Vermont spruce.
No, it's not, Danielle.
I'm just trying to delineate. But
sorry, I snapped at you.
Like, now I am, as you know, Jewish, but have always celebrated Christmas.
Yep.
Now, I grew up with a fake tree from the, you know, the drugstore, you know, something you get in a box and put up every year. Now, when I said that to my husband, who is only half Jewish, I said, you just got a fake tree. He's so upset by a fake tree. And also, I always pick up my ornaments willy-nilly from a drugstore. And he's like, every ornament needs to be a special memory.
Yeah,
like,
that you can't really upsets me.
Like, I would just buy a red ball and call it a day. But he's like, no, everything has to fucking mean something. It's just
I want a memory.
Pressure.
I want a bit of nostalgia. I want to know that that tennis ball up there is from 1990 when I took a lesson. You know, I need to know the ins and outs. Well, you know, I actually hosted an episode of Add to Cart Cool Ups podcast all about Christmas. If anyone's interested in knowing more of my, but I like to consider myself up there with Kyle and Kathy.
Yeah.
And actually more like Kyle, because of course, you know, my husband's Jewish. I'm raising my children in the faith, but my husband, God bless him, you know, and this might be just the Christian spirit he's showing me, but is fine with the amount of trees because I have a bedroom tree. And I have a real freshie. A fresh tree is going to join us right after. And I'm not an animal. I'm not going to buy that until the day after Thanksgiving. Yeah, I'm not crazy. So that will be three trees total, Danielle.
That's so many.
Well, I want to do a public service announcement, Danielle. So I got my son the vaccine yesterday. Thank you, science. Thank you, science.
Sydney was pricked on Sunday. God bless.
So amazing. So amazing. And, you know, they were like, okay, well, we need to observe him for 15 minutes in CVS. And I thought, well, what a great time to shop for Christmas stuff. The guy was like, I think you're supposed to stay here in the observation area. I was like, Max, come with me. So I thought, look, if anything happens, I'll get him right back to the pharmacy.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the difference if I'm here, if I'm getting
2 feet away,
you know, holiday bags over here, right? But I will say the shelves were picked over, Danielle.
Already?
I talked to the manager. I said, what's happening, sir? He tells me, you know, supply chain demands are so, so intense. He just basically said, get yourself out now. Get everything you need now. Buy your gifts now. That's why we're doing favorite things next week, because
I know.
Then I go to Target to look for ornament hooks. I mean, imagine how many I need, Danielle. I have three trees.
So many.
Nowhere to be found. The shelves were empty at the Target in Los Feliz. Bare bones.
Well, we had to tell Sydney because, you know, we're still riding the Santa train until it runs out of gas.
Yep.
And so we're still at 8, still riding the Santa train. And so we told Sydney that the mail is low this year. So Santa needs your letter ASAP. So you need to know. So we told her that mail is running slow. So Santa needs to know what you want so he can make it now.
That's great.
We can't be waiting. So she got her list to us. And so we're already.
She got it together,
but we had to like figure out like how are we going to tell her about the supply chain without telling her about Santa. So we made up that lie. Yep. As it slipped off the tongue as easily as Jen Shaw's lie about her, you know, the coach.
Sharif's internal bleeding.
Yes. So anyway, it was. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited for this season. I feel like at least, you know, last season was so depressing. We were all, you know, quarantined at home. And now that Sydney's half vaxxed, at least I just, you know, and everyone's vaccinated, it just feels like a little more of a celebration to be had. And I'm so
it really
happy.
Does. And that's why I'm like, life is hard. Who cares? Get your trees up, get your lights out front.
Yeah.
Just let's get into this spirit, whatever it is that we're chasing to fill a hole inside of us. Let's
huge
get at
hole.
It.
Huge hole. Inside.
Danielle, I also want to just quickly plug that tonight, Friday the 12th, my show Shrink Next Door comes out on Apple TV Plus. It's me and Will Ferrell, Paul Rudd, who's just named People's Sexiest Man Alive.
People really knows what they're talking about, right, Casey?
Well, when they pick most sexy and most beautiful, they have a screening process that's exhaustive.
Yeah. You really have
it's
to go
exhaustive.
Through and you both made it through. And so
you get background check. You get, you know, they really.
It's like for the new pope, you know, how you really have they do a conclave. It's a whole thing. A puff of smoke comes up when they've chosen it finally.
That's right, Danielle, because, you know, we play husband and wife and it feels right. You know, when I saw that he was joining me in the ranks as, you know, like people.
That's beautiful.
Beautiful 40-year-old. And again, I am 41, but people doesn't go by that calendar.
No, they don't.
Okay. They have their own calendar and that's spring. Yeah. So I'm still in office.
Yeah. Okay? And to have both of you be in office and starring together, like this is magic on the screen.
Yeah. Those are going to be some sexy scenes you're going to see, guys. Let me tell you. Thank you, people recognizing that, you know?
I'm so excited because I listened to the podcast of Shrink Next Door, which was so good. So to see this cast, Casey Wilson, Paul Rudd, Catherine Hahn, Will Ferrell, together on Apple TV. Casey, I'm so excited. I'm going to watch the whole fucking thing.
It's honestly so fucking good. It's true crime and it's dark as hell and it's heartbreaking and funny. It's so weird. Georgia Pritchett wrote it all. She's like the number two on Succession and was on Veep. She is the most fantastic writer. It is dark and hilarious. And I mean, you know, we all love a true story, true crime.
Yeah,
it's about a therapist who over 30 years' time takes advantage of his patient and by the end is running his patient's business and living in his home in the Hamptons. This is a true story, Danielle.
It's based on a true story. It's so fucked up.
It's so fucked up. And Paul plays the therapist. I play his wife. Will Ferrell plays the patient. And Catherine Hahn plays Will's sister. It's fucking great. And I'm in a lot. And I'm like, oh, you know, sometimes it's things with all best intentions don't turn out the way you hope. I was like, I'm really proud of this. It's so good.
I'm so proud of you.
I hope you guys like it.
I'm so proud of you. I'm
sorry to be indulgent, but I really do love it.
It's not indulgent. You worked really hard during a pandemic on this. Like, we should celebrate it. I think
it was 6 months of our lives. So I hope you like it.
I'm very happy.
It's only 8 episodes, limited series, guys. In and
out. Guys, turn in or turn out, right? I don't know what that means.
Now, Dee, I want to show you something that I'm wearing.
Yes.
Do you see this necklace? It's gold with a little gorgeous little square in it. A girlfriend gave it to me.
Yeah, what is that? That's beautiful.
I went out for dinner like belatedly with some girlfriends, my son's, like some mom friends for my mm-hmm. son for our birthdays. And my friend Kalimba gifted me with this for my birthday that you are going to love. Because guess what she has had inscribed on this necklace for me to wear?
What?
Up, up, up.
It's the truth.
Your famous phrase that you say about medication, when in doubt, up, up, up.
Up, up, up. When in doubt, when you're feeling sad, go up, up, up on that meds.
But Kalimba was saying, and Heather, my friend who was there too, we were all saying, but it's also just a great motto outside of medication. Yeah. However, you got to get up, up, up.
Up, up, up.
And hopefully that doesn't lead to addiction, but it might. You know.
It might, but let it take you where it does. Let it take you where it may. Up, up, up. And I would also just like to shout out our listeners who made me go up, up, up last week. After my Drew Barrymore experience from last week, I got a lot of reassuring DMs.
Yeah.
Saying that, like, I know Drew Barrymore would love you. And I thought Casey was talking about Drew Barrymore loving you too. You're not a fool to think such a thing. So I just want to say you guys made me go up, up, up last week after the down, down, down. Well, actually the up, 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 then the down, 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 and then the up, up, up again.
It was such a hard moment.
We'll never forget what we were doing.
Yeah. I've thought about it a lot because it was so wild. And I do blame myself. Like, I know exactly why you thought that. Mm-hmm. And I too agree that Drew would absolutely love you. Mm-hmm. I have no doubt.
You
know, I don't have confirmation on that.
No, you certainly don't.
But what I do know is that she loves you.
The show. That is something we do.
That I know for sure.
That
as Oprah
we
would
all
say.
Know. That is something we can touch down on.
That's right. So I'm so sorry that happened. And it was a roller coaster. You know, it was a ride.
Our audience has given so much, both to charity and to me.
They really did come out in solidarity for you.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody. I love you guys. You guys are the best.
That was one of the realer moments we've ever had on here.
I didn't know I
hate
cry.
To see you cry. That was so...
It
was funny, but it was also very upsetting. I don't want to see you cry.
Well, I think I cried because I was so embarrassed to think what I thought. You know how, like, you just get so embarrassed?
But you were also crying at the news that she could.
Yes. It's so many emotions. Guys, so many emotions. But look, let's not go back there. Let's not go back there.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's not go back. Up, 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 up.
Up, 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 up.
Guys, we have a great show.
A great show. We're going to take a little break and we're going to come back with Amy Phillips. Get your tickets to our live.
We're going to Boston. We're going to New York. February 17th in Boston. February 19th in New York City. We're almost sold out in New York, guys. It's crazy. So we can't wait to see you guys then. We'll be live in your faces.
We've got song. We've got dance. We've got guests. We've got videos. Danielle and I are preparing for this as though I don't even know what, Danielle.
We haven't been on stage in a while. We are excited.
And you will see that based on our level of preparation.
Yes. Guys, we will see you so soon. But in the meantime, enjoy Amy Phillips.
Oh, Danielle. Welcome back.
Welcome back, everyone. Now, this guest, she's graced our pod many times.
Speaking of books as well, I'm throwing in there because she's now an authoress. And I don't know if that's diminishing, but I like it as a fellow author.
All right. I felt like a cut.
Well, I'm sorry. When I have an author on, it feels, do you see I'm wearing a blazer, Danielle?
You are. You got, I'm just in a ratty old sweatshirt, not giving her the respect.
I know what
she
you're
deserves.
In. I can see you. I can see you. But we have, oh my gosh, we have such a great guest. We have an actress, comedian,
podcaster, the most important
impersonateur.
Yes. A writer and a chef. Not a cook.
A sous chef?
Not a cook like Bethany.
We're going to figure out her role in this in terms of a chef. Yes, an absolute chef. So please welcome, you know and love her. She is an authority on the Housewives, first and foremost. And I think that would be her first, the way she would want to be known on her.
Love. I think authority on Housewives, then mother. Then
mother.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Then everything else.
Then guest of bitch sesh. Yes. Please welcome Amy Phillips.
Incredible introduction. I could have listened to that all day long. Thank you.
Amy,
it's so good to see you guys. Thank you so much for having me. I am elated.
We love having you. You're just a treat.
The love is strong. Thank you for having me here. And thank you for plugging my book.
Amy, I'm holding your book. It's so fun, I have to say. This is, guys, look, I don't want to get into politics right now, but supply chains are tough. Order this now because the holidays are coming and I would want this wrapped up under my tree, wouldn't you, Danielle?
Yes, it's called Cook It, Spill It, Throw It, the Not-So-Real Housewives Parody Cookbook, Unauthorized.
Ugh. Unauthorized. Woo! I love it.
Yes, we're digging in. Yep. It's not approved.
And yet authorized because it's forwarded by Andy Cohen.
By the King of Kings, Andy Cohen.
Father. Father of fathers. God.
The reason for the season.
That's right. And it's by you, Amy, and Stuart O'Keefe. Can you just tell us a little bit about this tome?
Oh my God. Thank you. It's a real send up to the Housewives. You know, if you think about it, like, every feud, every fight, you know, every drink spill, it happens at a restaurant. It happens around a dinner table.
That's
it happens
right.
at a bar. There's always food involved. When Chef Stuart O'Keefe, celebrity chef, came to me, he said, I have this cookbook idea that is, you know, I want to do a cookbook about the Real Housewives and recipes that involve them. Can you join me on this journey? And I was like, a cookbook, The Real Housewives? I don't know if I don't get it. Then I slept on it and I was like, oh, this makes so much sense because of the connection with food. And, you know, one of the things when I asked Andy to write the foreword, he was like, you know, a foreword for a cookbook. I don't know how I can do that. But we got there because I was like, well, you know, he always mentions on interviews about how he leaves the Housewives orders in the show.
Which is a gift. It's a gift that
it's
I didn't know we
all.
Needed, and we need it so much.
And it's a backbone. If anything, it's something we can count on and ground us within the shows.
Thank you. I do feel it's somewhat relatable.
Yes.
And what Andy says in the foreword is so true, is because we always hear what the Housewives order, especially drink orders too, which you do include in the book, which I appreciate. And what he says in the foreword
very
is
much
it
so.
Tells us so much about them by what they order. And I believe that to be true.
It's so specific. I mean, I'm from the Midwest. I'm like, you know, very, you know, frugal family. So when someone's like, can I get you something? I'm like, I'll just have trash water. Like just water with trash in it. Like, I don't care. But these housewives, they're so specific. They're like lavender sprigs of, you know, I mean, everything.
I mean, Dorit orders the same thing every time. And we've come to expect and to appreciate her drink. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow. Danielle. And what is that drink?
She's always does like a gin with like a splash. You know what I mean? It's always just a
wow. See,
and Ramona orders that same thing. Like we, you know, I've come to expect what
you get to know them.
And these recipes, though, Amy, they are real recipes. Yeah. Very good recipes.
Yeah, this is a parody book. I mean, obviously, my blurbs, the headers for each. You know, I pretend I'm an author, but
let me just quickly give two some ideas of the recipes because these make me laugh. I was laughing so hard. Manzo Cotti with thick as thieves sauce. You're getting Dance for Daddy Andiouli pasta. You're getting, Yolanda's? I wrote it down.
Something about lemons.
It's a Dutch baby pancake with Yolanda lemons.
And don't forget, who gonna check me? Blue cheese buffalo.
And dinner party from Hell Psychic Teeny.
What are you doing here without deviled eggs?
And your photos in this, also the Sonia Rita, of course, and the chef very hot. Anyway,
he's extremely handsome.
Extremely handsome. Literally, I was like, "Oh, Amy, that's so fun." I genuinely would open the book and I'm like, "That's really fun that Amy got kind of like a mimbo, you know, kind of hunky guy to just like be in the photo shoot with her." I was like, "Loving this." Then I was like, "Oh, this is the chef."
He's the Irish chef. Yeah, he's always going to Barry's boot camp. I'm like, "What are you doing today?" He's like, "He's either going to the bar or he's going to Barry's boot camp."
Just like and me. Of course, he cooks. Just like me. Wait, one more recipe. Scary Island skirt steak and Jill Zarinade.
Yes. Well, she showed up. You can't forget Jill in that. She's the marinade for it all.
Even the pictures, Amy, like the my favorite picture that made me laugh out loud because it's one of my favorite Housewives moments that there's ever been ever, which is your hands.
I'm dying.
It's remember when we saw Kim Richards tossing a salad with her hands? Like with her actual hands. And then hands in a, like a mayonnaise salad. It's the best image I've ever seen.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's interesting to have gone back. I had to do so much research and it was a delight. You know, going back to that scene and just like that one was it was a dark scene if you really go back and watch.
They all are, Amy.
Yeah.
Amy, speaking of, because you just said this and also one more clip medley of dips. But Amy, Danielle, you just said favorite scene. Like, what is your favorite scene of Housewives? Because you just, you're fresh to the text. You've gone back.
I have to say, you know, and this has nothing to do with the cookbook, but I will say that one of my favorite scenes is when Heather Tom, they were going to go, this is New York. They were going to go to Atlantic City. They show up at Sonia Morgan's townhouse. Heather Thompson is in the vestibule, the foyer, you know, that area that isn't quite part of Sonia's townhouse yet.
The only part she's not trying to rent out to put someone to sleep there.
I think an intern actually lives in that vestibule.
I think there are several interns in there still. And she wouldn't let her in. And Heather was so mad. And I love that she was kind of calling her out. And Sonia was just like, on the intercom, and she's like, no. And she's yelling at the interns. Then they finally get in the limousine and they just had this blow up argument. That to me always stands out. And of course, when you eventually get to Atlantic City and then you've got Sonia going, I party with John Kennedy, you know, that. So it all comes into one. That episode is top notch for me.
You know what's so funny? And I not to bring up another Housewives book, but I was also reading that book, Diamonds and Rosé, Heather, she addresses that incident. Ooh. And I'm being serious, guys. We've all read books. I've never seen someone come off so unlikable on stage, screen, or print as Heather Thompson does in that book by her own hand. She hangs herself. It's just an oral history. So she's talking so nastily about everyone. She's so full of herself. I've never seen someone so out of reality, actually. And that's saying a lot because when she first came on, we're like, here's a little breath of fresh reality. Yeah. Regular Absolutely. Gal. No. Luann De Lesseps has her feet planted on the earth compared to Heather Thompson. And Sonia like explains what happened in that and really breaks the fourth wall. She's like, we weren't slated to film yet. You weren't even on the call sheet. I was dealing with a friend who was dying on the phone. You had your limo waiting out front with coffee and bagels in your fucking car. You know you did not have to go here like this. And you chose to fight me on it. And Heather, she comes off so poorly.
Wow.
But you know what? Enough about that fucking book, because this is the book we're here to discuss.
Okay. But that sounds like an amazing book. Yes.
Now, can I ask you a question? With your book, are you debuting any impressions? Because you are a mimic, a housewife's mimic, if you will. And when one debuts a book, we assume there's an impression, something to go along with it. Is there anything you'd like to debut?
That is a very good question, Danielle. Well, if you pre-order the book now, you get a digital exclusive of Salt Lake City recipes. Because as you see, when we wrote this book, Salt Lake City wasn't really up on its feet. And so, I know, very disappointing.
It's okay. What can we do?
Any of Valter's, you know, as people that have been to Valter's restaurant, I have to say, you know, if there's a recipe from there you could glean or...
That would be an amazing idea, a Valter recipe. We did include about 4 Salt Lake City exclusive digital recipes for that. And one is, it smells like hospital food, which is an amazing like potato casserole, which is actually dubbed funeral potatoes in Salt Lake City because they bring this dish to when someone's, you know,
passed.
When someone's in the hospital. And so we have that one. But on the heels of that, I've got the I love that drink. Which is, of course, just a Lisa drink with tequila.
Can I hear more Lisa? I need more Lisa. I fucking hate Lisa.
I don't have a recipe for Del Taco, but I'll try to work on it.
Oh my God!
Casey. Oh. I feel like it's turning into a bit of a Muppet. I don't know where it's going.
No. It's yes. It's amazing.
That's beautiful, Amy.
Do you do a Meredith?
I do. And actually, I can't discuss it because I'm very unsettled by this conversation.
My head just exploded off its body.
You guys are so fun. You make impressions. Like, you make my life. This is so fun.
But it's like I'm talking to the real person. It's you channel.
But I don't have to talk to them, Danielle. No. It's perfect.
You channel. You don't do impressions. You channel.
You're what Mary wishes she were at her church, which is a channeler.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I can't wait to get more into that.
I mean, we might need to just jump into Salt Lake because your impression of Meredith was... I was crying laughing, and I know it wasn't funny, but like when Whitney was so upset and Meredith pulls her aside and is doing, I can't do it, but what you just did where she was so disturbed, I, at the cooking class, the Italiano, cooking class.
Bolognese.
Guys, there was so much going on in this episode, I didn't know where to look. Like it was.
I know.
I didn't know where the back of Meredith's cutout top began and Mary's wig ended. It was wild.
You guys, can we talk about Meredith as a person and then Meredith as someone who dresses in clothes?
Yes. Because yes.
It's so, when I think of Meredith, it is so inconsistent with what she brings to the table in terms of wardrobe. It's always like her midday outfits are shocking to me. Like, it's a crop top, a leather cutout. I mean, we're midday at many of these times. Like, it's...
Well, we are in Italian streetwear, Danielle. But whatever that is.
Well, we got a lot of examples on that invitation, and it was just like someone in a sweater. Like, I didn't get what it was really representative.
Okay, that is how I would do an invitation if you locked me in a room and were like, okay, you've got to figure out, like, some... clip art and graphic art, and you're gonna have to try to put it on an invitation. Like, that really killed me because
I know
not the fake party that Mary was saying it was for Whitney.
Whitney's fake invitation.
Like mafia street girl. None of these were themes you can touch down on in your head, which has never stopped any other housewife, but it was hard to wrap one's mind around both themes.
Right. That was a prank that I actually laughed out loud about.
Me too.
Also, what made it so funny was that Whitney somehow didn't fall for the prank, or just the prank didn't register to her in the way that it wanted, that Mary wanted her to come like dressed like slutty or whatever that means to her. Like, and the fact that she didn't, she was like, ugh! I'm so mad at you. Like, you didn't do my prank.
Joke. I know. It was kind of sad. I mean, it was kind of a bummer. Even if Whitney knew it was a joke, she really should have played into it. I mean, this is a television show.
Thank you.
If you do have this outfit, which we know you do.
That's how she dresses every day, though.
I know. I mean, do you remember the lace with the jean? Did you see a full shot of that?
Yes, that was great to touch down on that again.
Thank you for that, Amy.
Yeah, no problem.
Guys, Heather, and I know we went and interviewed her. I'm truly, it's not why I'm saying this, but her one-liners are really what's greasing the wheels of this whole show. Like, just her take on things and the way she reacts in every moment. When she said to Whitney, like, it's not happening. Like, we're not getting Mary back to Earth. Like, we're just going to leave. Like, let's leave. Yes, I was like, this is all of us. Like,
I know.
She's so goddamn sensible and funny. She makes me laugh. And I really liked her in that kind of slicked back hair look.
I did too. I think Heather really brings a certain amount of, well, actually, she's probably the realest on the entire show.
She's a real 100%. Person on the entire, on all cities. From
on all cities.
I
agree.
She is the realest Real Housewife.
What a journey that she would come out of such an extreme religion, or however you want to call it. That is so rare. It is so rare that would ever happen. To watch this journey, I think, is incredibly fascinating. I love every second.
Now, what I don't find fascinating is her cousin's journey, or her niece's journey.
Yeah.
But I think I'm all set putting a pin in there. But I will say, like, that cooking party, guys, was so fucking wild.
It was wild.
So much happened. There were tears.
I didn't know what.
There was pasta.
I'm enjoying Jen. I was enjoying Jen this last episode. And we all know what we were hurtling towards. But when she was at the table, she was kind of making me laugh. I don't know why. Just just her glee at kind of Whitney taking the heat from Mary and not quite knowing, like, wait, am I not in trouble? Or I don't know what happened between Whitney and Mary. Although Whitney sometimes does need to just stop talking for a second.
Yes.
Oh, man.
She kept trying to explain where it was like, and that's why I appreciate Heather's like, we're not going to stop trying to explain it. She gets it. She doesn't want you. She's mad at you. Shut the fuck up. Like, I was starting to get annoyed at Whitney because it was like Whitney wasn't understanding to shut the fuck up.
I know. And she kept just saying, I was doing carpool. It's like, we get it. But I'm actually confused about whether or not. So she called her
back. I actually don't think Mary knew what that word was, being serious.
Oh, I think you might. Maybe that's what it is.
She looked so, there was no amount of registration of the word carpool.
But also what she was like, I'm saying that she's doing a good thing. She's doing you a service. She's sticking up for you. It's like, Mary doesn't care at this moment. You have to stop saying that.
Also, again, just to engage with your feud, what do you know, she Mary has a problem because you didn't call her back. What was behind that? Was it because she was shooting the show and she wanted to FaceTime and that was part of the production and she didn't pick up? And then Mary felt that took away from her time.
Interesting, Amy. I never even thought to get to the bottom of it.
Right. And she called her back 2 hours later, but Mary was still mad. So I'm so confused.
Yeah, I didn't realize she had called her back. Right. But, so maybe it was about her getting fake. I didn't. That's what it's about.
That might be what it is. That might be.
I get the sense Mary is like, there's something about her, kind of what Meredith said, like she is so insecure that I felt like this party for her was like on the par with like a wedding or something. And everyone else was kind of acting like, oh, here I show up for this like cooking class, whatever. But Mary was, the stakes were in a very different place for Mary. And sometimes my heart goes out to her occasionally because I'm like, I do feel she's sort of like different or left out from the group in a way. And I'm like, oh, but then she's so fucking batshit that I'm like, oh, but this is why. So it's and around we go.
This, the whole story with her and her mother not talking to her. I mean, you understand why.
There's so much darkness there in terms of that whole.
No, guys, she's what we're watching is like a picnic with Jen Shah and this MLS stuff compared to the darkness of this. I believe.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. And I also am. I really like Jen Shah as a housewife. I'm so sad. Like if she does, you know, if she's guilty of these charges, it's going to be a real bummer to lose her for the show.
Yeah. What about us?
So great. Yeah, thank you.
Who's going to wear that disgusting red and black cheetah coat to veil?
Oh, my God.
Guys, but the fact that she lied. Okay.
Okay. Hold on. Are we going there, Danielle?
Well, wait. Okay, before we go there, I do want to talk real quick also about the cooking party, which is that Mary giving everybody Louis Vuitton bags with just a shitty old apron.
That was,
everybody,
that was sad.
It was, she's like, this isn't Louis Vuitton. It's like, well, you did give everyone a Louis Vuitton bag. It would be assumed that it is a Louis Vuitton product.
Because she gave them like Chanel Airbuds, didn't she last time or something? Gucci? I don't know what it was.
And so, her whole worldview revolves around luxury brands.
So then to give everybody a luxury, looks like a new bag.
Right, because why does she have 6 bags that all match? You know, you could maybe rustle around for a little bag.
Or just go to the local Walgreens and get just some little pink bags and just put
Is there a knockoff like place where you can get fake bags? Is that a thing?
Or maybe she had them from other purchases of hers. Because I do believe.
Oh, it's in that room. It's all in that room.
It's all in that room.
Those bags that have bags in them. That's what it was.
You guys, if we excavated that room, like we got another look at that room, like just stuff.
Just housewife archaeologist Danielle Schneider comes in.
I've never seen a room full of so much luxury, just like lined up on the wall. Like just, I really got a feel for like, oh, this person is spending money with their feelings. You know
what
I mean?
She's going to go down like Erica Jane in a way that's like this is a religious scam coming, and she's flaunted her money in the same way that Erica has, which is like, it's so fucking over the top, as Jen did, as Teresa Giudice did. We know these patterns. Wow. It's always the ones that are flaunting the most.
So on the nose. How do they not know? This is where it's like, I don't understand.
If Robin were to do this, actually Robin did do this, I guess, with taxes. Well, you know, what do I know? You know, they're all doing it. Could we just touch on Henry and Jack's invite list? For Henry and Jack's little soiree. Lisa, first of all, I want to say to Lisa, I'm sorry, you're a fucking bitch. And I know I don't normally call them this, Danielle, but for being so confused as to why Meredith might be upset that Jen was liking homophobic tweets about her son. Then someone's like, oh, I kind of thought like I supported Henry and Jack. She's like, it's not about you. You bring up those kids. She goes fucking nuts. And at one point it's like, well, they made the guest list. They made the guest list. And then she goes, this was about me being a mother, this event. Like, what? Why? And then she's like, I invited Whitney for an olive branch. It's like, but I thought you weren't making the guest list here.
And I saw the people at that party. Those two boys did not make that guest list. I'm sorry. No. It was all adults that nobody knew. Like, it, that guest list was made up by Lisa and Lisa and a publicist. Like, that had nothing to do with those children.
It was some good classic housewife moves. I mean, those were some swift and heavy moves because none of it made sense. It didn't, the invite list did not make sense.
I mean, it was, seemed to be a party. Like, I was like, oh, did Jack and Henry launch Cameron into our lives? Like, that was what the launch seemed to be. R.I.P. Cameron.
You know what I found out? Cameron is involved. He was involved in the board of the foster care.
Yes.
The foster care board, yes. Which I found out later. I was like, okay, at least there's a connection there.
Yes.
And you know the news about him,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think we're going to be, that'll be an unfolding thing. Because as Andy said, and we said this last week, Danielle, but he believes next week episode is to be one of the more explosive episodes in Housewives history.
It was a treasure for, I think, all of us for him to give that information in the presence of you, Casey, because were able to reflect how we all felt. And I can't believe it because the Shah rest was something. So to get into now this.
To know that was almost nothing, the Shah rest, in a way. It's like, well, we have to get through that to get to this. What happened?
I mean.
Yes.
Okay, so let's touch down. Let's just touch down now. Because we all.
The editing, Danielle.
Oh, beautiful.
The way they start with 3 days later over the mountains. Now, first they hit us with like some important music, but then they decide to go the other way. And I couldn't imagine the editors all sitting around and the story editors like, everyone knows what's coming. How are we going to deliver this? And then they go, I say we just go upbeat music like we're going on a regular trip.
And then, you know, talking snacks, talking smack, just talking, having fun. And then
Mary's on a private plane. Meredith's
in a tub. Like, right. And then what do I spy with my little eye? Well, first, okay, wait. Before I spy something with my little eye, we get a phone call. We get Jen Shah. Mm-hmm. We've seen this footage of her being like, can you turn it off? Like, we've all seen.
And the best shot, of course, through the camera person's arm over the camera to her. her eyes blink up. It's the greatest shot in history.
We have Lisa. What's Lisa's reaction, Amy, if you could give us a Lisa take?
What is happening? I feel so sick right now. I think I'm going to puke. No, Meredith knows something.
We find that out later, right? Then Meredith knows something.
Why was Lisa calling Stu? She warned Whitney, or was it Heather? Heather said, I'm going to call Jen and tell her that people are after her.
She's like, do that. I wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't do that, but I'll call Stu, you know, but she didn't even put it together.
I wouldn't have put together that Stu was in on anything, whatever. We don't even know what he's in on.
See, I think she did put it together, guys. That's what I'm saying.
You do?
Yeah.
Because that's why she was like, I would not do
I think
that.
She was trying to help Jen and or knew something was up. She's got some information and she was giving a little tip off to Stu or Jen and trying to. I mean, there's also rumors out there that she's invested with them or something. I think she was freaking the fuck out.
Oh, my God. Okay. I have the chills right now. This is so exciting.
I'm reporting the rumors, you know?
We know no truth. We know
that's
no
all
truth
I can
to any
do.
Of this. This is all...
Allegedly.
Thank you, Erica.
This show should be called Allegedly.
Yeah, it should. Bip-sesh. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Hashtag we stand behind nothing.
And stand for less than nothing.
Stand for nothing. Also, the way that Jen Shah's excuse wasn't just like, I gotta go deal with something. I gotta, you know, like, I would just be like, I gotta deal with stuff. The way that lie came out of her mouth so unencumbered.
Terrifying.
I would have been like, I gotta deal with stuff. I gotta go. Like, you would have seen a scrambling. You would have seen me tripping. I would have still had like the... the sound equipment on me in my car.
Unbelievable.
Like you would,
yes.
You would have seen
a fumbling.
I would
a lot.
Maybe say family thing. Like the word family might come out.
Maybe, mm-hmm. maybe if I got that far.
I don't know. I would probably be like, I just got in a car crash. I don't know. Oh, I broke my toe. I'm sick. I would have been like, the feds are after me.
Like, I'm going to jail, mommy. Where's mommy?
It would have been a mess, but she, the calmness and the coolness with which to take the microphone off, then to have the wherewithal to be like, Coach Shaw, Sharif mm-hmm. is having a internal bleeding, which when you say internal bleeding,
so
you're like, that's the most.
Well, the best was so Heather's
specific.
Like, is he going to be okay? And Heather, and she's like, yeah, I don't. And then Heather goes, I don't think so. Heather was basically like,
he's
dying.
Like, he's not going to be okay. You can't come on this trip.
But then she says, she's like, it's internal bleeding. I'm okay. So should we stay here? She's like, I don't know. I might come back. You're like, what is internal bleeding?
I was actually at first, I was like, wait, maybe she's not talking about her husband. Maybe this is Sharif's father. Okay, it has to be because she's not actually talking about joining them back on the trip, is she?
See, to me, that was one of the biggest bummers of that day for Jen is that she couldn't get back to filming for real. I'm serious. I think she in her head was like, there was some piece of her that was like, yeah. Even unconsciously, but it was sinister. It was chilling.
I spent 2 hours getting my hair done and now I can't get filmed.
Yes. Yeah. These box braids aren't going to film themselves.
I recognize that in myself, guys. And I'm not going to lie. There is something pathological about Jen Shaw and about myself. Where if like sometimes I can just be so single-minded and I'm not thinking like clearly. And mm-hmm. so even if something important is happening in my life, I'm like, yeah. but I still got to get to my job. Like I don't know if it's something that's been trained in me.
Well, no, I think that's shock as well. Mm-hmm. But what you're saying is also right. Like it was that lie, the way it came out so evenly. She's like, I've got to go. He's got internal bleeding. Was so creepy.
Yeah, I think Danielle, yours is like compartmentalize. Yes. You know, try to yep. just it's fight or flight,
yes.
and you're gonna fight. Whereas she, this was terrorizing. How quickly she came up with this lie.
I would never come up with that. I mean, and I'm an improviser. I'm thinking on my feet.
And how strange that we've also, God bless them for including a scene that they probably honestly wouldn't have included the fullness of the snowshoe scene between Stu and Jen, which was
totally
a longer
agree.
Scene. It was like a one-er of them just like going across
shot.
The
never
snow.
Never cutting.
It was like a fucking Birdman. But I feel like what we got, reminder, someone told us Stu's family did not know he was filming the show until after it aired for season. But I felt like it was so perfect. Like the setup was her just being like, I couldn't have done anything without you, bud.
They were implicating him. They were being so shady about Stu because she was like, you're with me on everything. I don't do anything without you.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's such a great take on it. So let me ask you guys, because I'm very confused about the scene. She looks so awkward. She's, you know, poking her poles in the snow. Yeah. She's trying to like, you know, it sounded to me, it looked like a scene almost as if they filmed this after she was busted and they came back together in order to do a narrative. But I know that's completely not true, but that's what it felt like.
It was too lighthearted. I think for it to have happened after.
What was the purpose? Do you think that she knew something was going to happen? That's why she was trying to lay.
No, I think there was lots of B footage and they just used that B-roll bullshit to.
That makes sense.
For our story. I don't think it would have ever made the cut if they're just, here's a funny, awkward Jen Shaw snowshoeing. Let's get some physical comedy.
The way when she was like hula hooping that day and like, look at the weird stuff Jen does with her second assistant, Stu, or
whatever.
Okay,
got it. God, it was so strange. And I also was shocked to hear that he was married and had a family.
Well,
yeah.
You know, she didn't know.
What?
The wife didn't know that he filmed the first season.
Oh,
things are about to come out about Stu, Mr. Stu, that are explosive. Guys, why wasn't Mary on camera in the FaceTime with Heather? That disturbed me to my core.
She's probably covering up the camera with her finger, her nail.
But it was like when I'm on with my aunt and the phone's just like up at the ceiling and you're just like, I'm not even going to ask you to show your face because I know you're not capable of that.
You know, Mary's a talk about a riddle. Wrapped in an enigma and cash.
And a mannequin.
The thing about Mary that I love is that she's so, no matter what you say to her, she's outraged that you would take that viewpoint, whatever it is.
Yes.
You know? It's like, it's like, Mary, can you calm down? She's like, oh, you would like me to calm down? Or it's like, Mary, you passed that sauce. She's like, and I didn't pass the sauce quick enough. Is that what you're saying? Whatever it is, she will come. It's wild the way she will twist anything.
Well, even her thing with Meredith, where Meredith was like, I was trying to calm you. And she's like, oh, like all of a sudden she touched on a Meredith that Meredith is here for me. But like, that could have been anyone. You didn't, you know, like, you don't know where she's going to soften and where she's going to strike.
So where she's going to interrupt your prayer.
That's just right. That's right.
So rude.
So very rude.
Wild time.
When Lisa and Heather held pinkies during that prayer, I screamed. I was just like, this is so insane.
They did?
Yes. Oh, just a little pinky to each other across the table, like, here. Just, I mean, it really made me laugh when Heather went through the circles of heaven.
Oh, yes. I didn't know all
of that. Oh, I love that. I love
knowing
that.
Jeffrey Dahmer. Is like, has to let her in, has to open the door for her to the VIP room. That was
the
like-
thing about something about Heather and Meredith planning the trip together is kind of triggering, is too strong, but it's touching upon something from my high school, which is like, I was Heather, you know, like there's another maybe cooler girl who's like paying for the trip, but I'm like, I'll make the gift bags.
And you do everything, like someone running around to like the 99 cent store, yes, getting all the accoutrements, where someone's laying in a bathtub just like, me and Val.
When she was like, you're going to have to take on more responsibilities. And here I would be like, okay, great. I've got headbands for everyone. I've got fruit stripes. It just, there's something about it that feels very, I don't know, because I can't tell what Meredith makes of Heather. I don't know what's going on there.
I know.
I think Meredith is sort of above it all. And she... Yeah. I think she lets people do the heavy lifting for her. She doesn't have the energy to do any lifting.
She had to be catapulted and forced into a scene at Fresh Wolf with Cameron. That was so awkward to see those two talking. And she was just standing there waiting to receive the information. And she couldn't even play it off like it was natural. It was like one of the most awkward scenes I've ever seen, because Lisa just dodged out of there so quickly. She's like, oh, she's got to take some pictures. And the next thing you know, she's just standing there with Cameron. And then we get no information about Mary's cult. And of course, Meredith walks away holding the bag with little to no information, but a hot tip, maybe.
Yep.
But she doesn't have, she can't
do Lisa.
Maybe catch the ball, but she can't run it. She can't run with the ball.
Lisa's running everything right now.
Lisa is
running, yes, lots of different avenues.
How do you feel about that? I know people
I love it.
I do. I like it too. It doesn't bother me because it's a housewife show. We're so far in to the genre, to the franchises, that at this point we need someone like that.
I'm loving Lisa this year. I'm loving her. She has grown on me.
I hate her. She makes me ill.
I had a feeling you might be.
She makes me physically ill.
I love her.
Does she make you want to puke?
Her reaction on the bus was so insane. Like, there's just something about her that makes my skin crawl. When she thought Sharif had internal bleeding, this to me is Lisa in a nutshell. She hugs Jen and goes, I cannot do the impression. But she was basically like, keep us posted. You look beautiful. I was like, we're not there, Lisa. Like, I know your family is a very secondary area for you, but we're not there. I do think Fresh Wolf is a good name for a business. Am I wrong?
I love it so much.
Everything to her is a business. Her sons are a business. Everybody's a business. Like, it's my nightmare.
She goes, I brought tequila to everyone, as though it's not her own shitty stuff. She's got thousands of bottles of at home. Like, ugh, now we have to promote you.
And are we really trusting someone to make a fine tequila whose favorite food is fucking Taco Bell? Like,
who isn't even supposed to be drinking alcohol?
Like, it's such a weird...
Speaking of food, I was fascinated by the fact that Heather and all the stuff on the Sprinter van was holding just a loaf of bread. And then I don't know who exited out. Maybe it was Whitney and she was trying to give Jen snacks. I was like, this is the best part. This is amazing. Like, this is what I want to see. I want to see housewives that are ready and prepared on a bus, because you want a lot of food. You need snacks on a bus ride like that.
They all brought snacks. I appreciate
it. And then they just, it kept going. I was obsessed with that.
I would bring bread. I appreciate that.
Yeah, someone was like, give her Wheat Thins back. Like, it was
the Wheat Thins. That's what it was.
Watching them as the, honestly, to be in the bus and see out the window, the Homeland Security swarming. Oh.
We saw it through the, like, I just saw one person with like a bulletproof vest, like from the corner of the window. And they're all just talking about like, oh, I hope he's okay, blah, blah, blah. And you just see one person, then two person, and then I mean, it was a thrill.
Yes. We knew we were in for something when the producer got on the bus and was like, sorry, are you guys really thinking about not going?
Oh, she was so pissed. I love how pissed she was.
Yeah, she was like, basically like, because I got a whole fucking crew that's setting up in a Vail Airbnb now, and Meredith's nowhere to be found. But like, it was so, I was like, oh, we're now entering into very different territory. Mm. We've never seen a producer come out and start scheduling. We've seen them come out like in times of trouble, in, you know, if a fight's about to brew, if like someone's trying to threatening to leave. But just simply holding like a piece of paper being like, where is the bus going?
Yes, that's such a, oh my God, we've never seen that before. That was an iconic moment.
And I love that she was double masked. She's like, you all might be doing your thing here, but like, I am not going to go down for you all.
I'm still living in reality. You guys are living in Utah and I'm in reality.
Yeah. And like, am I keeping my babysitter for tonight to go to Vail or not? You fucking bitches.
She was good. That's why you know it's such a great show, because of the way that producer was. Yes. I like the way she talked to them. She had a lot of authority and she wasn't mean, but she just, I want more of her.
But Lisa was rude. Lisa was like, yes, we are. I was like,
I sort of appreciated knowing the dynamic, because there was no respect anywhere to be found. Like, they didn't respect her. She didn't respect them. I appreciated it all. Like, she was like, so you guys are like really not going? And she's like, yeah, we're not. Like, it was just like,
and why wouldn't they go? Like, and I think Jenny had a really good point. Jenny! What are we going to do? Sit and wait? We can't just sit here and wait. What are we going
to
do?
By the way, Jenny is an unexpected person that was wonderful to have in the mix during this experience.
Ah.
It's not someone like, if you had told me pick four of them to be sitting there, I might be like, oh yeah, I could take Jenny for that event. Loved her presence.
Mm-hmm.
Putting things together, getting, like, she kept it very low key, but Jenny was like, and then also like, the show must go on.
Yes.
Nobody hopped on out there except for Heather. She was like, hey guys, what's up?
Oh, she's saying like a canary. I mean, like,
that's what I mean. Heather's instinct to like, let me move my body and get off a bus as I see police officers swarming my business and looking for our friend. Lisa was just like yelling out the bus, but not moving a fucking muscle.
I wouldn't have moved a muscle. You wouldn't have seen
I would have jumped out of that bus, Danielle. No.
I would have hidden under the cushions. I would have said, they're coming.
No, I would have gone out there.
They're coming.
I don't think I would have gone as far as the driver fist bumping one of the SWAT teams. However, I would have definitely been like, what do you need? I don't, you know, but Heather kind of literally threw Jen under the bus that she was standing on. And when she was like, oh, she just left. She said this, and this, and this. And her aunt's license plate numbers, da-da-da-da. Which, do you think that was the aunt that was in the hospital? Because I heard that in the getaway car was the aunt.
But when you say getaway car, Amy, sorry, you mean you mean the truck that Jen's cousin/assistant was driving?
Yeah, the getaway.
So she had just kind of dropped him off.
Where do you think she went?
She went home.
Who called her?
Oh, who called Jen? Okay, so a lot of people have done screenshots on Jen's phone.
Okay, thank God for this audience that's doing this. I know. Yeah. God bless you all.
But it's still out for, you know, decision, because it looks like it could be Sharif, but it looks like it could be Stewart. But it definitely, there's a definite S in there.
I think it's definitely Stewart. I mean, Sharif, we all know. He doesn't call her. When her dad's dying, he's not there. He's not calling her.
Sharif's at work.
He's out. He's shoveling snow with no jacket on.
It's Stewart.
He's upset she's packing so many bags. That bummed me out when he came in about the bags, because I myself, having had, you know, tragedies here and there occur, you always go back to the moment before just being like, I sort of felt, even though I know Jen most likely probably did all of this, I was like, here she is packing her bag, heading to Vail, having some laughs with her husband about like doing just her little transitional packing scene, not knowing tomorrow she's going to be arrested in front of the world.
The world. I agree. I feel your empathy there, because I don't want to see housewives go down. I don't want that for housewives.
I mean,
I do, Amy,
but
I mean, it's become, as Ray said last week, the genre has shifted. The paradigm has shifted, and it's a true crime show now. We are watching it day in and day out.
And we're indicted, Amy.
No, I hear you. I mean, I'm on board now. I just, I didn't see
it coming. We didn't know. No. Just like we didn't know that when we were watching Beverly Hills, that we were watching Vanderpump that first time, you know, that first transition into Vanderpump. We were like, wait, what am I watching? That we didn't know we were watching a true crime show. But now.
Right. But at the same time, Danielle, it's like, well, you can get that little pass. But then it's like, well, we could have turned Vanderpump off, though. That is also was on us.
Yeah, we didn't. We kept going.
We didn't. No, you didn't. You guys binged that, didn't you? You binged that a long time ago?
Yes, we watched it and then we hated it and then we liked it. And now
are you watching? You're not watching it now, though.
I am.
I have not been. It's, you know what? I feel like over Christmas break, I'm going to take some time and really dig back in, but I just haven't had the chance, guys.
Unfortunately, the only thing you need to know, Danielle, is that Lala has left Randall. That's happening in real life. But what
that
you need to know is that Raquel's nose job, unfortunately, James Kennedy, in her recovery, bumped it with his elbow. And, we're in trouble. We're in trouble.
No!
That's are you
the worst
watching,
thing
Amy?
I've heard.
I am.
What are you watching? What do you got?
The most shocking thing was to have a cameo from Dr. Paul Nassif that came back because Lisa Vanderpump said, you can see my plastic surgeon. And then, of course, her nose is botched. So he gives her, you know, really see that deviated septum.
You guys, she should break up. That's something you can break up with someone over. If they botch your nose job, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
Well, Dr. Paul Nassif said that he didn't think that it was due to him coming in for the kiss. It was because of the surgery. He said that it was the surgery.
Wow.
That was his takeaway.
Wow.
I don't know. Decide for yourself.
Wow. You be the judge.
Salt Lake City was wild this week. We saw some scenes from next week where it's Meredith in the tub.
2 minutes full, Danielle. 2 minutes.
And then we also saw, I mean, it was weird. I'm so excited for next week.
Okay, wait, Amy, I'm sorry to keep making you do impressions, but will you just simply say the line? Okay, that kicks off the footage we saw of next week where Meredith is in the kitchen and was so uninspired, clinks glasses and says, like, welcome to Vale. Or she says something like, let's have a great time or something.
Clink, welcome to Vale. Let's have a great time. Marriage therapy.
Seth. I need it. Oh, thank you for those impressions.
They're beautiful. I would like you to whisper sweet nothings in Lisa's voice to me every night.
Let's take a quick break, Danielle. We're back. Amy, can I ask an acting question out of just curiosity?
Oh, please. I went to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts.
Wow.
I can speak to your questions post-haste.
Please do. How do you work on the impressions?
Back in the day, when I first did Ramona, it was just kind of in me. It was just like, oh my God, she lives in Soit. So I didn't really have to do much there.
She was just kind of scary with you.
Yeah, she was with me. She was always laying dormant inside.
Was that scary for you at first to know Ramona was there?
It was scary.
Can I hear a little more Ramona while we're here?
Okay, you know what? I'm really sorry there wasn't a reunion, but you know what? It's not my fault, okay?
You even look, your face changes, your body
changes.
I
can't even look at you when you're doing this.
I feel like I resemble Ramona, and that's I look at pictures of her,
you?
And I go, "No, I. It's true. It's okay. If you guys say it, it's fine." I look, and I'm like, "That's me later." No, it's true. It's okay.
I mean, she does look great.
She does look great.
So, and then the others, like Bethany, I really had to work on Bethany, and so that's one of the. This is an example of like putting on my voicemail, my outgoing voicemail.
I'm sure she was calling you pissed about your impression.
Yeah. Putting on my voice memos, just like clips of her and just really listening and trying to find what the catch is, what the, you know, what I can exaggerate. And so for her, it was finally like, and I don't sound anything like her. So to finally tap into like, oh, she kind of sounds like a stand-up comedian and she doesn't really finish her sentences. It's like a lot like running, like why am I hot, like what and who? You know, it's just a little bit of like kind of squashing it all together. And it's not, it doesn't really sound like
her.
And a lot of them, I mean, it's just a little cartoony. But so it's the voice memos are a good thing.
You're right. She's like a bad stand-up that never really lands a punchline. But I think you're right. Like we all think she does because the patter is sort of there, the math of it.
But she doesn't leave any air for laughter because she knows it's not coming.
And then like for, you know, so it's really lately, it's just voice memos, listening, watching, with Meredith, it's, you know, I've noticed that she really moves her head a lot. You know, when you're bobbing it around, it's and then you kind of have to do that. I mean, it's a little Sammy Davis Jr., actually, when I think about it. I mean,
no, that's so good. Yes.
And what about Dorinda? Are you sad Dorinda's gone?
You know what? I was so sad when she left. And based on what happened the last season, I don't know if she could have made it better. You know, I'm not sure. It's hard to tell. I just can say I'm so excited to go to Bluestone Manor for this Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip that I, and Brandy being there, you know, Brandy's going to burn that place to the ground. I mean, it's going to be insane.
Brandy, yeah, that place is doesn't exist anymore.
Brandy is, I think, our craziest, like of all I agree. The things, I agree. Of all the places, of all the ladies we've had, she is the one.
Pound for pound.
who I am terrified of. And would,
you know what? Uh-huh. She's rotten to her core.
Yeah.
Rotten.
She is. You can't trust her with a
she's thing. A nasty like, little. She's,
no. And we've had, mm-mm. obviously, housewives that have committed crimes, and I'm still more scared of Brandy.
Oh, most certainly.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that.
Can we talk about the funniest housewives ever? Potomac. This, yes. guys. These women make me laugh in a way. Like, I truly enjoy my time with the
me
women.
Me too. I'm laughing thinking about them.
I just.
Karen Huger.
All of them. I'm laughing my ass off the entire. Candace, guys, Candace has grown on me. And I know some people would say maybe it was her worst season ever. She has grown on me in a way that I can't explain. We cannot do the show without Miss Candace. We
and
cannot.
I loved her wig on this season with that little curl under. And I hate this person.
I was
like, damn it. I like seeing her square up the napkin and get ready for the tears.
I do love the napkin folds.
I love her. We could. Potomac, you know you are essential to the series when it wouldn't be it without you. And she has become that. She is irreplaceable.
Wow. I don't feel that way. I'm bobbing and weaving with Candace right now, which is fine. I might circle back. I've just had some problems with her the last few episodes.
Understandably,
I think she nails it on some facets and others she doesn't. But Drive Back is such a great song that
Back.
I think based on that song alone, she can't leave the franchise based on that song.
I'm proud
but
of
other
her.
Than that, I'm kind of, I bobbed out of Candace right now, hoping to come back. She's taking me on a journey.
She's taking me on a journey too. I dislike her very much, but I hear what you're saying, Danielle, which is like, she's definitely doing her job. I mean,
absolutely.
She can cash that check and know she worked hard for that money.
And I don't think she's performing. This is who she is. I don't like Housewives performances. That makes me the most angry. More than bad behavior, performative behavior makes me angry.
Like, who do you put in that category, Danielle?
Performative, I would say in every city there's a performative housewife, but Lisa Barlow used to be performative and Jen Shaw was performative until this year, I found. So I didn't enjoy Jen Shaw as much as everybody else did. I found it very performative and I felt like she was doing housewives tropes.
Yes.
And she like acting a bit for the camera, even if she's an asshole, just like putting it up. In front of
and this. I knew she could pull back. I hope she got that note. And she did. She pulled back.
Yeah, she's going to pick up and drop off and she's going to show up at the school. That monologue.
But I find Candace is just who she is. Now, does she say terrible things to people? And especially when she goes in the looks department? Yes. But Karen and Giselle say the worst things to each other. You can't come back from the things Karen and Giselle say.
But I think with Karen and Giselle, there's a lot said in between. With Candace, it's just like she's leaping from the most savage insult to savage insult. Like, we're just barely getting like our footing again after she's saying something that is so cruel.
Right. That's what it is. Like, there's no redemption. There's no other.
No, I haven't seen an iota of redemption.
Out.
And I've never once felt for her.
I'd have, see?
Well, when her mom hit her over the head with her handbag, I felt bad.
Yeah, that was awful. That was and I do blame Dorothy for who she is. I mean, what happened?
Oh, this is all Dorothy. This is
all
terrible.
Dorothy.
And I also saw I saw how hurt she was. Now, look, I love Mia, and I have said
which
Mia
time? She's always hurt.
Well, when I thought she was genuinely hurt, when Mia said that her video was low budget, she had worked so hard for that video.
Oh boy,
she had
I'm going to have to go with you on that one. That episode, that was the one episode all season when they were on that boat And she apologized and she explained. I was like, I get you. That was the only, but that was the only moment. And it's been like 5-6 seasons.
I know. Look, I'm not, I've turned a new leaf on Candace this season. I'm just saying okay. that. I'm not saying that what she has said to Ashley is okay or what she has said, because I don't
Ashley
think she knew about me.
Ashley looked great at the reunion.
Oh my God, Ashley looked stunning. And someone did a measurement of their foreheads and they're exactly the same, which I appreciate.
It's the greatest thing I've ever seen.
I'm up there right with them. I'm just like, so what?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about the insults. I think it is something between Karen and Giselle, the thing, they have such a chemistry there and they have got a longer history. And so when they kind of go back and forth with each other, it's like a dance.
But that's what makes it even worse. Like they know each other. So they cut each other in a way that only they could hurt each other. Like that is.
Which Karen Huger pointed out. She was like, when Giselle and I do it, it's like.
I know, she's proud.
Guys, why wasn't Karen Huger sitting next to Andy?
That I was
Zen Wen, you get Happy and Ness and move the fuck over.
I know. I cannot surprised. Believe that was a
that
shock
was
to me.
Shocking. And I'd like someone at Bravo to answer that for me.
I don't know. Is it when Wendy was really piping in?
Amy, you do things for radio, Andy. Can you dig into
can
it?
Can you
I'll
dig?
Have to, I'm gonna look into it. I was really surprised too. And Wendy had a lot of digs at the reunion. She was piping in. She told Mia to shut up. She had a lot to say here and there, which I thought at times was very amusing. However, I was still confused at why she was sitting in that seat, just as much as I was confused about Sutton sitting on the end of the couch. So I don't know who's putting together these seating charts, but they're off.
They're off.
Can we talk about one of my favorite things that happened? She was okay. So Mia's vagina has been fixed,
nipped and tucked.
But I guess she does missionary position. That's her favorite position. And then Wendy's saying, I don't understand how missionary beats your puss up to a pulp.
I had to rewind that. And I'm so
gorgeous
glad you pointed
line.
That out.
Gorgeous. And she said it so genuinely.
And I like that Andy was like, hey, you don't know what happens in that bedroom. And I liked it.
Yeah, she's just like, I just don't understand. I simply don't understand how missionary beats your puss to a pulp. I just simply don't understand.
I like a mention of the puss. Like,
and beaten to a pulp?
It's so disgusting. I mean, Karen's line, which I'm so happy they showed again because it killed me, when she said that I forget who it is that someone was up Robin's. Oh, when she said Robin is up Giselle's bush. It's the best.
When Karen goes crass, she really goes crass.
Oh, she goes so crass in a way that nobody does.
It really made me laugh when Andy goes, Karen, like, where are we with Suri right now? Is Suri in you? And she's like, Suri is always in me, Andy. Also, I loved Andy's question to Giselle. This was, I thought, honestly, like, I know we give Andy his props, but I've got to give him his props in this reunion. Mm-hmm. When he said, I mean, he's asking the questions that really get down to the heart of matters. Oh, yeah. When he said mm-hmm. to Giselle, we're talking about Jamal, we're talking about everything that's going on. He always knows what's a little bit missing. Giselle shares this with Erica. It's like sometimes there's a little empathy chip or a little piece of something missing that I think we're all mm-hmm. kind of wanting, which she's right. It's like, she's like, you guys want to watch me cry and die, basically.
Yeah.
You're not satisfied. And so he goes, when Jamal cheated on you, did you cry? And I was like, it's such a great question. And she was like, no. And I was like, okay, see, this is where we're having our disconnect with Giselle. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Why is she still using the same stylist?
She's like, I've been using the same one and she's doing a great job. It's like, nobody thinks that. And when Andy also, let's give Andy props for going in on her house. And he's like, they look disconnected.
Is there a motif that's coming together? And Robin jumping in with like, oh, it's the entryway. It's all about the entryway that ties it together. I'm like, it makes it worse.
It makes it worse. Poor, you know what I do like about Giselle, though? I was like, for any other housewife to comment on their fashions or like the way they present themselves would be a 10. She's just like, yeah, I love my stylist and that's that. And I'm sticking with her.
And I don't want her to change her style because I think that what ends up happening so quickly after a first season of a housewife into the second or the third or whatever, they always have a glow up. They upgrade their stylist, everything.
Yes.
And then it's not them anymore.
We saw it with Leah. We saw it with Dorit, we saw with Meredith.
What I love, Giselle, is Kyle. Kyle has terrible fashion.
Yeah.
And it's just, and she starts terrible fashion brands.
Yeah.
And so it is what we've come to know. It keeps them grounded. They're the most beautiful housewives. Yes. It keeps them grounded.
Oh, another of my favorite things that we found out at the reunion was that we found out G used to go around the strip club with no shoes on.
Oh, that was just, I loved getting to the bottom of that strip club. The steaks, the gowns that she took it off, booty shorts. He was one of the kind of investors or like built the VIP room. There was a lot that we got down to.
He invested in one of her massage envies, but then.
Oh, right.
But her, she's on the deed for the chiropractic business.
I was confused about that.
Well, it's very confusing to me.
It doesn't make any sense.
But I have to say, like, I don't need to follow that story down the rabbit hole personally. It's like, sorry. And no. I did appreciate Giselle kind of sticking up for me. It's like, sorry, what about it? Don't you understand? She's obviously was just, she was in, yeah. you know, worked in that line of work. Who gives a
fuck? I love it. And she was very honest and open about yes. it, transparent.
She
and that's
trying
what we
to
want.
Hide it.
It's refreshing.
That's why it diffuses it immediately. When yes. you're just like, yes, this yeah. is what it was. Who cares? Like,
yes.
it
yes.
just diffuses.
And she's got kids. I'm fucking proud of her. She's like, yep, this is what I did. Now I'm a businesswoman. Like, great. Who gives a fuck if he, and who cares if he invested in her business? Of course he did.
Agree.
And now she's doing amazing.
And that's why I have a problem with Candace when she's like, he found you on the curb. I'm like, come on. It wasn't a curb. It was inside of a strip club. And that's okay.
And that's okay.
But again, she's saying that stuff to her. It's not right.
Now, look, we'll take us a couple twists and turns to get to the bottom of it. But I made me laugh so hard when Chris, when someone said to Candace, they're like, but okay, but so do you pay Chris? And then someone was like, oh, she pays him in sex or something. And then Mia pipes right in. She's like, so how is that different? He's a sex worker as well. Like, he's no different than me. And it's like, well, he's actually not.
None of you are different. You're all dancing for money right now. That's what I'm doing. We're all dancing.
That's what drive back 100%. Is.
Yes.
How about when we hear that sad story about how Candace's, you know, family will never be the same because her mother's insulted her husband.
Person.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised it took this long for this situation to break into this.
Yeah. If anything, I'm like, oh, really? That was the straw?
Yeah, like, that was the, right.
She I was like, I would have thought we would have moved, glided right past that.
After she hit you in the head with her purse, that was, seemed like a straw. Now, what did you guys think of the fact that Candace said to Mia, I am not the reason. If your mother relapses, that is not on me.
Agree 100%. I was 1,000,000% thinking when Mia started to come for Candace about that, I was like, no. You brought her on the show. Candace did not know the story about her mother. So they cleared that up. That's great. But I'm glad that Candace spoke out about it at the reunion because I am team Candace on this. I will say that it is not her problem. And if anything, it's Mia because she kind of dragged her for her mother not being there, leaving and abandoning her kids when she was supposed to be babysitting after they took a second vacation and left her mom with her kids again. So I had a real problem with Mia on that.
Wow, Amy.
Wow.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, you got, I understand, but you're not wrong.
Wow.
Again, I don't blame Mia and I don't blame Candace.
It was a bit insane when Candace was like, basically like, well, in the black community, I went easy on her. I'm like,
yeah, well, that was like, you should
be grateful. And then she's like, she should have been grateful. It was the most insane. And everyone on the couch was like, sorry, what? And I appreciated Giselle said, like, I would have killed you basically if you had done that. Like when I watched back the footage.
I went, being grateful.
I mean, you know, I'm so in love with Mia. So that was hard to hear, Amy, but I also.
I know. I'm so sorry. That's the only, whoa.
Holy shit.
Oh my God, the feds have swarmed Danielle's house.
Sorry, everybody.
I just saw Danielle's, your mic like flew by like on The Wizard of Oz when things are going by the window.
It was swirling.
It was a shock.
Also, Danielle.
Is your nose okay? Do we have to bring you to Dr. Paul Nassib to get a...
Well, Danielle, I do have to say, you know, so on our live show, we showed a video of how you got your space really transformed. We got you new lighting. There was a video and now you've got new audio. But I don't like to see your light behind you not on. I don't like to see it both behind you and not on.
Well, I'm not turning it all on for this. Nobody's seeing it except for you guys. What do you need to see me with a glow up? You know what I look like.
Well, I just loved what you did so much.
I know.
It's just like when someone like me, like you buy a treadmill and a week later, I just see it like piled high with my stuff, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
You're
inevitable.
You're seeing the light with like my jeans strewn upon it.
For sure.
Basically, I see like necklaces over it.
Look, guys, I can't keep it up. I've never been known for keeping up any sort of glow up that I've had.
Me neither.
I do it for a week. I can't you keep look a diet. Amazing. I can't keep an exercise routine. Can't keep a goddamn haircut going with layers and bangs. I just can't.
Guys, we've come to the end here. Amy Phillips, your new cookbook, Cook It, Spill It, Throw It, the Not So Real Housewives Parody Cookbook Unauthorized with Stuart O'Keefe, forward by Andrew Cohen, quotes and blurbs by the housewives, wonderful recipes that also make you laugh. Like, not like these other cookbooks where I'm just reading the recipe and I'm not even getting a laugh out of it.
And I also have to say, it's a feast for the stomach and for the eyes, because you are giving us these great pictures of you, like, so funny. Yep. So it's such a gift in the way that it's not only a cookbook, but it's a humorous book. I love it so much. It's such a great gift for people this holiday season. Guys, but get this for your housewife loving friends, or even your non-housewife loving friends, because the recipes look fucking so confused. Delish.
Or get it for yourself.
Yes, for yourself.
End of the day. Amy Phillips, thanks for being here. And tell us where we can find your show on Radio Andy.
Oh, Radio Andy, channel 102. And I'm on Monday through Friday at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific.
It's so
reality checked.
We adore you. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Amy Phillips.
Thank you guys so much.
Bye. Thank you, Danielle. Thanks, Renee. Thank Caitlin. Thank Airwolf. Thanks, Shalai.
I would like to also thank Renee's, our producer's, new bangs.
I would too. And her new sleek hair.
Are they new? Because they do look really nice.
Sleek hairstyle, looking gorgeous, Renee.
Gorgeous. And don't forget to buy tickets for our upcoming live shows in Boston, February 17th at the Wilbur, and in New York.
And New York is almost sold out. So jump in there.
Yep.
Town Hall. Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Bye.